And welcome to Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from the Brothers Grimm to Sister Sledge are Jenny Eclair.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
And Arthur Smith.
Hello.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, at which you'll hear this. Or that means that Russell has pressed my bell because he does that. If anyone's chewing, will they please spit it into my hand now? So let's stop obsessing about, like, rules and whatever and free our minds with the first top three. Our first category is your top three battles. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that category sits out the chat. In this case, that's Russell. So, Russell, you sit this one out, please. And, Richard, would you like to start us off?
I like the Battle of Hastings, which is the pivotal moment in British history. It must have been quite good after the Battle of Hastings, people coming up. You heard the result of the Battle of Hastings, people going, don't shut up, I'm waiting for the tapestry.
I always thought that the Bayeux tapestry, in a way, that was the very original rolling news.
It would all have been very different, the Battle of Hastings, if Harold's mum had been there, because when he got shot with the arrow, she goes, there's something in my eye, should have got a hanky out, just wiped out, they could have carried on.
You can't get an arrow out of an eye with a hanky.
You can, a mum can do anything. But also, it shouldn't be the Battle of Hastings, because it didn't take place in Hastings. It took place...
Battle.
There's actually a place called Battle, which must be really... Which I think is probably named after the battle. If not, they had an amazing...
Coincidence.
Amazing foresight.
Waterloo didn't take place in South London either.
The Battle of Stamford Bridge, which preceded the Battle of Hastings, yeah. Harold won that one.
Do you know, I once had sex on the centre spot of Stamford Bridge.
Really?
Honestly, yeah, I really did.
That's why the lines are all wonky.
Any more battles? Jenny?
My favourite battle is... Oh, do you like this one? The Battle for the Christmas Number One.
Oh.
Oh.
No, they don't like it.
That was a groan.
Back in 1971, I'm sorry to go back a bit, it was Ernie and he drove the fastest milk float in the world. Don't you remember that?
Milk cart in the West.
In the West,
okay,
yes.
All right, I just made it a bit better. But and then there was Clive Dunn singing Grandad.
Oh, yeah.
Grandad.
Anyway, Pop Idol was rubbish in those days, wasn't it? Benny Hill.
Two old men.
A man dressed up as an old man.
Clive Dunn wasn't even old. He was about 32. And I like... there's the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
And that's... I'm suffering from that. You know when your calves are too fat to zip your boots up? And they fitted last week. Because I do suffer from clothes rage. Do you not? You sometimes try and get in a pair of jeans, you can't get them up. You end up dragging them down, just biting them. Jeez, I hate you.
I would pay money to see you on Trini and Suzanne.
But the Battle of the Bulge was a real battle as well, wasn't it?
It was.
You know too much.
You've got to be very careful when naming battles, because that sounds like a funny battle in the Battle of the Bulge. The Battle of the Boyne as well. You've got to be careful where you have a battle. Try to find somewhere called Battle and fight there.
The Battle of Battle is a terrible name. That sounds stupid as well.
No, you can shorten it to Bob.
You know, Agincourt is actually... If you go there, as of course I have, it is actually called Azincourt with a Z. Why we call it Agincourt, I don't know.
It's because we won?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we can call it what the hell we like. I'd like to bat for the Battle of El Alamein.
Right.
Because my dad was in that. And although he was captured at it, so he didn't do too well. And he remembered with great pleasure his times out in the desert. And he was starving, though, especially after he was captured. And he told me once he'd eaten rat. And I said, what's that taste like? He said, a bit like dog.
The ones that your dad ate were probably desert rats, were they?
The Battle of Trafalgar? Where Nelson either said, kiss me, Hardy, or kismet, Hardy. It can't be kismet. No one would say kismet, Hardy.
No.
He said kiss me, Hardy. The Navy embarrassed. That's where it all started.
But that's a funny thing to say is your last words, isn't it? Kiss me, Hardy. I mean...
Well, you know, sometimes you've got to take your opportunities. You know, that was he knew he was dying. He thought, I really like Hardy.
It's my last chance.
I was planning on, you know, the drinks after the battle.
Any more battles? Arthur, you're a very knowledgeable man.
Bannockburn is one that the British don't know. Are there any Scots in tonight?
Come on, this is your moment, Scottish people. This is the one thing you've won.
Braveheart would have been less of a film if everyone had been as quiet as that.
Freedom!
Another one with a silly name, the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Yeah.
Now, was this horn big or little?
It was a bighorn, but it was on, you know, there were bigger horns.
What about the eternal battle, the good and evil?
Very good. Oh.
That's the real battle in life, ladies and gentlemen.
I like Satan in that battle. You know, he knows he's ultimately going to lose, and God is the perfect being, and yet he still has a crack, and you have to admire him for that.
Yeah. He doesn't know that about God. He
must have read the Bible. He must know what's coming up.
He's not going to read the Bible.
He can't read it. His hands burn everything he touches.
Nobody's guessed my favourite battle.
Is your battle the Battle of Balaclava, which has a helmet named after
it? No. I like the Battle of the Beanfield. June 1985, the New Age Travellers had to fight the police in order to have a festival around Stonehenge. Oh. And the police sent a helicopter in, and the New Age Travellers defeated the helicopter by holding little mirrors up and blinding the pilot so he had to go away. Wow. Now that, to me, that's non-violent battle, and I salute them.
Who'd have thought hippies would have had mirrors?
Well, you didn't get my special battle, but time is up on this topic, so I'll be asking you for your final top threes very shortly. Before I do, I need to remind you about the Joker. As usual, if any of your top threes match what Russell Howard has in his envelope, you'll get a bonus point for each match. But if you're confident you can predict some of his answers, you can play your Joker, and you'll get double points for everything you match up. So you've all got one Joker. You have to play it at some point, so that's all clear. Let's see if anyone's feeling lucky. Richard, please start us off. What is your top three, and are you going to play your Joker?
I want to play my Joker, because I'm going to guess what Russell's got in there. Battle of the Planets, definitely. I expect he's got some fight that he had with a girl.
Who pulled his hair and made him cry.
If you're listening, Jane Hartley, you fight dirty.
And
I'll go for the Battle of Marathon, because it's got a marathon, and the marathon was named after it, then changed to Snickers. If that's right, I think I deserve more than double points.
So do I. Jenny, what about you? Your top three. And do you want to play your Joker?
I'm sticking to what I went with earlier.
Okay.
The Battle of Christmas number ones, the Battle of the Bulge, and the Battle of Hastings.
Okay. And Arthur, your top three, please.
I think the Battle of Agincourt.
Yep.
The Battle of Thermopylae and the Eternal Battle of the Good and Evil.
Very nice. So let's see if Richard's gamble has paid off with his Joker, Russell. Yeah. Let us know. What are your top three battles?
Well, the first one is the Lord of the Rings, where Erwin defeats the Death Rider at the end, when he goes, "No man can kill me!" She pulls off a mask and goes, "I'm no man," and then stabs him in the face. Secondly, Blur versus Oasis, gripping.
Very nice.
Finally, have you seen the battle at Kruger on the internet? It's fantastic. Basically, water buffaloes minding their own business. Lions turn up, get a baby. Crocodile grabs the baby. You think lions have won. But no, lions then defeat crocodiles. Then buffaloes come back, get the baby.
Is it a human baby or is it a baby water buffalo?
No, it's a water buffalo baby.
It'd be great if the water buffalo came to save a human baby. They took it away and raised it as their own.
So, no matches there. Russell, you score no extra points, which means at the end of round one, we have in joint second place Russell Howard and Jenny Eclair, but comfortably in front, Richard Herring and Arthur Smith. Okay, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reasoning behind it. Richard, you're up first.
Great.
Either Or. Mac or PC?
I think all computers are evil and must be destroyed.
So?
Luddites are in, not
so. So neither.
Neither. Okay, I'll give you 2 points for that.
Thank you.
Jenny Eclair, you're either or. Comb over or toupee?
Oh, well, both are hilarious and high wind. I think toupee, because you could use it for something else, couldn't you? Say, like, if you had a hamster with alopecia, you could keep the hamster warm.
OK, you can have 3 points for that. Russell, Heidi High or Allo Allo?
Allo Allo. For the simple reason, good morning. I was just pissing past the window. Exactly. I'm 10 years old. Dad, did I just hear that right? You did, son. Let's high five. Also, I really fancied the brown haired one.
Gordon Rene.
Not Rene.
You can have 4 points for that because you've really thought it through. Arthur, the man with the golden gun or the girl with the pearl earring?
I'd like to elide the two and have the man with the pearl earring. That guy would be fun.
5 points, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll add those points to our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out. Please sit back as we hammer out the top three Liverpudlians. Russell, do you have a favourite Liverpudlian?
I support Liverpool, so my favourite Liverpool player is Robbie Fowler.
Yeah.
Just because he is just... There's something so brilliantly scummy about him. Do you know what I mean? He looks like he's just finished off like a Greg's pasty. And then the ball comes his way, heads it in, and then sort of gobbles the rest of his dinner. You know what I mean? I love that about him. And also, a friend of mine called Jason did a gig in Liverpool, and a few of the footballers were there, and they were kind of, like, looking at him in awe, which was really freaky, because he was obviously looking at them in awe. And Robbie Fowler said, oh, what's the weirdest heckle you've ever got? And Jason went, oh, you know, heckles are fine. It's nice to chat with the audience, have a bit of banter. You know, I guess the weirdest is someone says something odd to you, like, I know, do you like carrots? There's not really a lot you can do with that. And he was 15 minutes into his set, and he just heard this shrill, scouse voice go, do you like carrots? And how can you not love a man like that?
Russell, I'll give you a point for doing an impression of a Liverpudlian.
OK.
Arthur, what do you think?
Ken Dodd. Yeah, I mean, he's an extraordinary man, isn't it? I mean, I do gigs around the country, as some of us do, as we all do. But I always say to the techies when you're checking in, yeah, I do about the same amount of time as Ken Dodd. And they all look absolutely petrified. Yeah. Ken Dodd does about 8-hour shows.
Yeah. Anyone else that you'd like to mention, Arthur?
Gladstone, I discover, is a scouser. William Ewart Gladstone. You wouldn't have thought that, would you?
No.
I mean, he didn't hit now there's no. He wasn't a comedian, was he? As you all know, a 19th century prime minister who used to chop down trees and reform prostitutes.
It's better than the other way round.
Yeah. Jenny Eclair, Liverpudlians that you like.
Well, Jimmy Osmond pretended to be one, didn't he?
I'll
be your long-haired lover from Liverpool. Mm. I thought that was a bit seedy, because he was about 13.
Yeah.
Willie Russell is good. And nobody would get into drama school without Willie Russell. Every girl always does a monologue from a Willie Russell.
He played up at the Edinburgh Festival, didn't he, with Roger McGough and Brian Patton.
It was all part of that lot, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah,
that... Oh, we've forgotten them, Roger McGough.
Roger McGough, we should have him down,
yeah. Oh, lovely Roger McGough.
I'll do you a Roger McGough poem. When I'm sad and
do
when
it drunk.
I'm...
Do it drunk.
When I'm feeling sad and lonely, when I think all hope is gone, I think of you down High Holborn, walking along with nothing on. No, that wasn't it. Damn.
That's just an extract from your diary.
1 point for attempting a poem.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Beatles.
Yeah.
Who are they?
Anyone got a favourite Beatle?
You must have met Paul McCartney, haven't you, Russell?
I've met Paul McCartney.
Have you?
I interviewed him for a magazine. But the article that I wrote about Paul McCartney was syndicated and was bought by Polish Playboy. And there was a little byline picture of me in Polish Playboy with some details. So I can say to people, I've been in Polish Playboy.
I heard this bloke in a pub the other day say he was sort of... We didn't fight the war for a load of Poles.
So we like the Beatles on the whole.
Which was the one that did the Thomas the Tank Engine?
Ringo.
That's my favourite Liverpudlian, and you've just got an extra point. And the reason I like him is because he's still bitter about the fact that he didn't play on Please Please Me in 1962.
Really?
Because he'd come down to London and George Martin didn't know yet what a drummer he was like, even though he'd joined the band, so he got a session player in to play the drums. And he was so bitter about this that he eventually, Ringo, recorded the song himself and put it on one of his solo albums. I am going to now ask you for your final top threes and to tell us if you're feeling confident enough and you want to play your joker in order to match up with what Richard has in his envelope. We'll start with Arthur, please, your top three Liverpudlians.
I'm going for Ken Dodd, Gladstone and Derek Hatton.
Russell.
I'd like Stephen Gerrard, Ken Dodd and Robbie Fowler.
And Jenny, what do you think?
Cilla Black, Roger McGough and Willie Russell.
Richard Herring, please tell us who are your top three Liverpudlians.
Number one, Ringo Starr. Number two, Melanie Chisholm from the Spice Girls. Number three is Mark McGann, the forgotten McGann brother. Who, and I looked him up. All his brothers have done pretty well. Mark McGann is also an actor. There's the dynasty, the McGann brother dynasty. If you look up Mark McGann on Wikipedia, it doesn't, you know, mentions the two things he's done. And the last line is, Mark auditioned to be the eighth Doctor in Doctor Who, a part that finally went to his brother, Paul McGann.
Oh. No extra points there. We'll add up the points earned in the round. And we find that in joint third place, we have Richard Herring and Jenny Eclair. Second, Russell Howard. Still in the lead, Arthur Smith. OK, time for another quickfire round. This time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite flavour of crisp, please. As the audience arrived today, we asked them what their favourite flavour of crisp was. Our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. OK, Jenny Eclair, what's your favourite flavour of crisp?
Venison and pomegranate.
OK. You could be up for big points there, Richard Herring.
Salt and balsamic vinegar.
Right, Arthur Smith?
Well, you know, I like foreign crisps redolent of sweaty holidays, but I think the audience have put down cheese and onion.
OK, and Russell Howard?
I like T-bone steak flavour Roysters in particular, but I'm going to go, I'm going to play the game, and I'm going to go salt and vinegar.
OK, and we find in fourth place, with 10% of the vote, prawn cocktail. Let's get involved. In third place with 13%, cheese and onion. Slightly deeper voice, people, like cheese and onion. In second place with 16% of the vote, ready salted or plain. And in first place with 31% of the vote, salt and vinegar.
Yeah. Very unsophisticated palates.
Well, 30% went to people who just wrote their own flavour down under other, which included chilli, ham and mustard, red hot chilli and meat. Part of Tesco's basic range, I think. So, 5 points to Richard Herring, even though he said balsamic, and to Russell Howard, who also said salt and vinegar. Let's push straight on to our next top three. And this time it's your top three magazines. Jenny Eclair, you're sitting this one out. So what do you think, Russell? Your top three magazines, please.
Well, obviously, you go Take a Break and Chat. For the madness of the... It's always a smiling lady, and then there's a photo underneath of just some woman going, my husband left me for a toaster. I'll read about that.
Are they not the same magazine, those two? Kind of.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm also quite fond of Bella. My nan, many, many years ago, used to creep into her bed. She knew about it. Let me get to the end of the story, right? But we had this sort of arrangement going where whenever she... Wait. So when she was staying around our house, I would sort of creep into her side of the bed. My granddad was on the other side. She'd kind of go, what? Oh, my husband left me for a toaster. Let's see what happens. And, you know, I was kind of going, yeah, let's find out. You know. So I quite like that because it reminds me of my nan.
That's very sweet. I'll give you 2 points for that very charming memory.
My other favourite is Pig Hunter Weekly, which is a magazine based, I think, only in New Zealand. And it's the Ron Sill of mags. It's about hunting pigs.
Richard Herring, your top three magazines?
I really like Fiesta, the Gentleman's Interest magazine, because when I was a child, it was very hard to find anywhere to look at pictures of women with no clothes on. You couldn't just go on the internet like you can today. You had to go and look under a bush in Shipham Woods. Yeah. You know, I've got very fond memories of that as a magazine, and that's as beautiful as Russell's story about being in bed with his gran. But that's a good magazine. I like Viz magazine. They had a brilliant article about Clive Dunn now being the age that he used to pretend to be, and Roger's Profanosaurus. I'm very proud. I have some entries in this. I've sent some stuff in. I've had a few things in Viz. It's like the poetry of the gutter, and it's actually they're incredibly witty. It's very worth reading and disgusting.
Anybody read any grown-up magazines?
I must say, I've been very disappointed by what appear to be the intellectual pursuits of these people on a Radio 4 panel game. Very low-grade stuff. You can't beat Sandwich Weekly. Cracking magazine. I interviewed the editor of that once, and you've got to think, you know, in the world of journalism, what were his dreams? Also, I'd like to bat for the National Geographic magazine just because it sounds like it must be the most boring magazine you've ever read. And yet it contains great nuggets of interest. I wouldn't know, I've never read it.
It's quite small, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think it's quite thick.
And it's
boon.
Got, like, pictures of trees and bears.
And a lot of naked women.
Well, I was looking at the bears.
Arthur, you can have a point for being the only person who didn't do that in National Geographic, and that's good.
I like those magazines that you have to build something over a series of months.
Very good. My favourite magazine is The New Yorker, partly because they're so pedantic. They write the word coordinated, not with a hyphen, but with an umlaut over the first O and no hyphen.
You have a fascinating life. And it's...
Have you ever read The Lonely Hearts in The New Yorker? They're amazing. It starts stuff like a Nobel Prize winning gymnast with big house in Tuscany and studying the stars. Seeks West End musical actress with PhD in astronomy. Yeah. Won't compromise.
I read one once, it was great, and it just said, I am a man who... Oh, never mind, you're not going to call me, are you?
OK, no more chat about magazines then. We find out if anyone's playing their joker. Let's hear your final top threes and whether you're going to go for it, starting with Arthur.
Yeah, well, I'm playing my joker, and I'm not going to mention any of the ones I have because I'm thinking of Jenny here. I think she likes Hello, Grazia and Royalty.
Right, OK, tactical. Russell?
I'm going to go Heat, Marie Claire... And women what swear at shoes.
And Richard.
Weekly.
I am going to stay true to myself.
Fair enough.
And vote for what I think are the best three magazines and hope that just fair play will win through. I will go for Viz, Fiesta, which is I doubt will be in there, and I will go for one that I think Jenny will have, Heat Magazine.
Well, there's Shoe Swearing Weekly, obviously, is in there. I do get time out because I have to check to see if I'm gigging.
Yeah.
Because I never remember. I'd get World of Interiors because that's my pornography.
So that's what? Kind of Fiesta. No, it's not. I should get a kind of point.
And I get OK because I like looking at orange people having vulgar weddings.
No extra points there scored, I'm afraid. But it does mean at the end of that round, we have in fourth place Jenny Eclair, in third place Arthur Smith, in second place Richard Herring, and in the lead, Russell Howard.
Yay!
OK, time for another round of either or. It's points for reasons, not answers. Arthur Smith, either or, still or sparkling?
Well, still, because a Frenchman once told me that sparkling is water that's been farted into by fat peasants.
OK, good advice there. 2 points. Jenny Eclair, to have or to hold?
I think have is better, unless it's impetigo.
You can have a point for that, because I don't understand it. Russell Howard, Kit Kats or Tic Tacs?
I prefer a Tic Tac, but it's all about context. If you're a bounty hunter and you're trying to get a fat man out of a small cupboard, you're better off wafting a Kit Kat in front of his chubby eyes than a Tic Tac. So it depends what day you catch me.
Although if you were a bounty hunter, presumably you want a bounty.
Oh!
Point for me. Richard Herring. Richard Herring. Girls Aloud or Boyzone?
There was a suggestion that one of Girls Aloud was a racist. There was a suggestion of that, and I abhor racism in all its forms. But Boyzone are Irish, and I hate all Irish people. it's difficult. So I have to judge it on which group I would prefer to see stripped naked, smeared in vegetable oil, and forced to lick each other.
That'd be Boyzone.
It's Boyzone, isn't it?
I will give you 4 points for that, because it's very honest and confounded expectation.
It did.
Right, we'll add all those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Arthur, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three places where you're naked. Jenny, please start us off.
Can I say in my dreams?
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to say that. But I'm naked in my dreams, my teeth are falling out and I'm falling out of a window, that sort of thing. Get a lot of anxiety. I've been naked on the stage, on the West End stage.
I've also been naked on stage, actually.
I remember, yes.
But you wrote play.
You ran, though. You didn't... Yeah.
You wrote your own naked scene into
a
play.
And I've been naked on TV.
And you wrote that?
I wrote as well.
I'm naked in my dreams, And sometimes when I'm paid on stage and in bed, naked in bed.
I really almost wish that Richard wasn't in this round, but Richard...
my favourite place to be naked is in Andrew Collins' wardrobe when he unexpectedly gets home from work early. in bed with Boyzone covered in vegetable oil. When I was about 19, I went skinny dipping with Debbie Zaboukas. That was a nice place to be naked. She was a girl I was working with on a summer camp.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. What, summer camp looking after kids?
Yeah.
What, and you nicked
you
off in
this,
the nudie?
Yeah.
Should we look after these kids? Nah, they're playing with fireworks.
Russell.
My favourite place to be naked is at the side of the stage at a comedy gig. when a friend of yours is on. And if he isn't doing particularly well, you can... just get naked and dance like that. Brilliant feeling.
We've had a lot of insights into your lives here, which I actually didn't really want, and I wish I hadn't thought, wish I hadn't thought of this round. But let us go for our top three. So, Jenny, you are playing your Joker this time.
Right, so I've got to think Arthur's thoughts. Oh, dear.
So, top three then, Jenny. And
if it's Arthur, Stamford Bridge, was that where you had that? your grandma's bed, and at the end of a game of strip poker.
Strip poker. OK. Richard Herring, your top three.
I will go for in the bath, underneath your clothes, we're all naked, on stage.
On stage.
Yeah.
Russell.
If it's Arthur, I imagine on stage, what else? And then I'll just put the rest of mine. Doctors... And
what, even if you just knocked your elbow, have to.
You've got to be thorough, Jenny. And and in bed.
Open that envelope, please, Arthur Smith, and tell us what your top three places to be naked are.
I want to do the sort of dramatic. Right, my top three places being naked: skinny dipping, the Edinburgh Royal Mile.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And on top of a mountain.
It's pretty mean doing it on top of a mountain. Just some poor trekker. Finally, I get to the... Oh!
OK, no matches there, but adding on the final points, I'm afraid that means at the end of today's show, our top two losers are Jenny Eclair and Arthur Smith, because this week's joint winner is Richard Herring and Russell Howard.
Yeah.
So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, blood may be thicker than water, but it can always make it up on the coursework. Goodbye. Bounty was presented by me, Andrew Collins, and featured Jenny Eclair, Richard Herring, Russell Howard and Arthur Smith. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Alison Carpenter. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.